Yeah, welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program today from April, from Alabama today, April Marie Fogle joins us. That's in the next hour. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk to former State Representative Ed Henry, the recipient of a pardon from President Donald Trump a couple of nights ago. We'll hear from him, talk about that experience and some other things. Please stick around for that. And as we do every Friday, we'll close it all out with State Senator Chris Elliott of Daphne. See what he get his update on things going on or will be going on in Montgomery. Speaking of which, I'm very excited to introduce our next guest, Elliott's colleague here in the Alabama Senate, for now State Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh. He'll be stepping down the first day of the session, but always a pleasure to introduce him. Senator, how are you this morning?
Jeff, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for making time for it. We always appreciate it. So you giving up the post. I think you were there for when Republicans finally got control of the legislature, and you've seen a lot in that 10 years. Talk about your decision and kind of what led you to make it.
Sure. Well, it's been a distinct pleasure to serve as pro tem and the Alabama Senate with all my colleagues. It's just been great. When 2010, when Republicans took control of the Senate, I was elected then unanimously by the Senate. And I've been proud of that fact and have been unanimously elected two times since. I've let it be known that this is my last term. I'm ready to move on to spend more time with grandkids and family, and that's a decision I've made. And I want to be able to concentrate these last 2 years, Jeff, on important legislation important for the state, dealing with a lot of mostly education issues. And I think I can better do that not serving in the capacity of pro tem. As you know, the pro tem position basically runs the chamber. It's a lot of meetings, a lot of work, and you can't focus as much on specific legislation. And I think it'll allow for a good, smooth transition. I expect the body to elect Senator Reid, who's the majority leader now, who's been a great colleague to work with through the years. It's going to allow me to focus, as I said, specifically on a couple pieces of legislation I want to see passed. And I think it'll just be good all the way around. I'm excited about it. My colleagues have been very supportive of my decision, and I'm looking forward to going into this session.
The one of the things I think the Republicans really hang their hat on, particularly under your leadership, here we are sitting here today, and the economic downturn because of COVID-19, typically in these downturns, you have tax revenue that stops coming in, but just through budgeting and doing things differently than you had prior to 2010, not really suffering as much as we could be right now.
There's no doubt about it. The state's in really good financial shape. We've been very, I think, fiscally conservative in the decisions we've made in the past 10 years. We've downsized state government by some, I think, 15%. We've lived within our means. When COVID hit just last year, we made sure we didn't pass anything at that point in time that could put another burden on the state. We've been very good about that. And it is our state, Alabama, I will guarantee you, today, under this COVID situation, is probably in the top five states in the country in terms of fiscal soundness. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, because whatever Alabama is talked about, everybody has to point out we're 49th or 50th. But finding that economic soundness, that fiscal responsibility, is something that probably not get talked about enough, I think.
No, it needs to be talked about. And, there again, I think we look at what's going on in the federal government side and, in my opinion, crazy spending. And then when you get into a COVID situation, you have to provide the stimulus on top of the other spending. It's kind of scary to watch. But as you know, in Alabama, we don't print money here. We live within our means. We have a balanced budget. And we're in good shape today because of that.
Right. I mean, like a lot of these blue states are asking for bailouts from the federal government. Alabama seems to be not in a need for that. Let's move on to some other things. You mentioned focusing on legislative priorities once you, I guess, officially exit the stage as pro tem. Talk a little bit about those, if you would.
Sure. One of the first things I'm going to be coming out with, and details will probably come out next week, I've been working for some months on a comprehensive gaming package for the state of Alabama. And the reason I'm doing this, Jeff, one is to provide scholarships for our young people, not only those going to four-year universities, but scholarships to the post-secondary, the trade schools that we have such a desperate need for those type of skills in Alabama. But I think that a lottery will provide that. On the other side, you've heard me talk for some time about the importance of broadband and the need for the state of Alabama to have coverage from one point of the state to the other. Rural areas during this pandemic have been unequally served because they don't have access. I mean, think about the kids out there that are doing virtual learning and then those who can't do it at all because they don't have internet access. So I think that a gaming bill can provide a long-term statewide broadband program and provide scholarships for our young people and young adults who perhaps are looking at career changes. So that piece of legislation will be a constitutional amendment. It'll be to the people to vote on. It's my intention to get it through the Senate and the House. I've been working closely with leadership in both houses, and I'm optimistic we can get something out. It'll tail onto the gaming commission the governor just finished. My bill had already had a lot of those components in it, but we've taken the suggestions of the governor's gaming commission and added those into the piece of legislation. And I look forward to getting that out and let the people take a look at it early in the session.
We talk about gaming, interestingly, when you talk to anybody involved, it's kind of been very tense at times, but right now, sitting here today, it does seem like we're, or at least some of the different factions in this issue are closer than they have ever been to reaching some kind of compromise and a solution.
Well, they are, Jeff, because there have been a lot of meetings taking place with legislators and people interested in gaming. As I just mentioned, the governor's comprehensive study of gaming. We have all the information. We've done several polls to see what the people's thoughts on it are. That's what I'm saying. I feel better than I ever have that we could put a piece of legislation on a constitutional amendment, let the people vote on this, that will finally provide great education resources in terms of scholarships and statewide broadband, which helps us not only in education, but it helps us in telemedicine. It helps us in economic development. It's a chance for the state to get these things. In essence, in providing gaming, which many people in our state are already doing now. Unfortunately, they're doing it out of state, and the state is not receiving any tax revenues for that.
Well, let's talk logistics, getting something moving, not only on gaming, but even broadband in this upcoming session. And I would think it's got to be this session because that last year of a quadrennium, well, you're not running for reelection, so I would suppose it's either this year or next year. But that last year especially, it's very tough to get big things done, but we're playing COVID right now and still trying to wait and see and feel our way through this session. How optimistic are you about getting some bigger things
Jeff,
done?
I'm very optimistic because for one thing, the polling shows that gaming is not as controversial as it once was. It's just not. Even among Republicans, they are, as long as they have the right to vote on a package, and they can look at that package and believe that those proceeds are going to really help the state of Alabama. That's why I've been very focused on how those dollars, where they'll be targeted. I think the scholarships are essential, as I mentioned already. I think broadband is essential for this state. And it's a chance for us as a state to get these things without taxing the people on it. And so, the gaming is a self-tax. People who want a game, they choose to do it. And the state can benefit from that. But that's my plan, and as I said, with the governor's study, it pretty much verifies what I've seen in the polling and what we try to put together in terms of a bill that I believe the people of Alabama, who ultimately have the final say, or choose to pass in a constitutional amendment.
I mean, opinions have really changed on gaming, and it's been a tough one going back even before Don Siegelman. But sitting here today, it does seem that people are way more open to the idea of legalizing or doing something with gaming than they ever have been before.
They are. Now, you're going to have a segment of the population, and I respect it, that will never support gaming of any kind. You know, philosophically, they just are not going to do it. And I get it. But as I said, my plan is to get it before the people. The work that's been put into this bill will show that a lot of things have been considered, and that the main thing is that what we're considering here is what is the best way to use these proceeds for the best, that's best for the citizens of the state of Alabama. And I think these education issues, the telemedicine issues, economic development, all those are important to the state of Alabama, and I think the people will see that.
Joined by State Senator Del Marsh here on the program. Senator, let's turn it toward your district and talk a little bit about that. COVID-19 obviously impacting every corner of the state. How are folks weathering where we are now today and everything that kind of is tied to it?
You know, in Calhoun County and Talladega counties, which I represent, you know, it's pretty much as it is everywhere. People are, you know, dealing with it. They're cautious. You know, they're wearing the mask. They're I think in many cases limiting their gatherings. And of course, we're all optimistic now that the vaccine has been approved. A couple of them. And now it's a matter of distribution. I know there's been a couple of glitches in that early on, but I'm convinced that the public health will figure this one out, and distribution will get better. And so I'm optimistic that every day that goes by, we take a step closer to herd immunity. And I think, you know, I'm optimistic.
I mean, you obviously have some businesses there in Anniston, a hotel. Everyone ought to go check it out if you're ever spending time there. Have you seen business turn around in a good direction?
It's been really, really tough, Jeff. I mean, especially in the hotel and entertainment type industries. I mean, it has been devastating. I'm just going to tell you. I mean, I feel for people out there. I see it every day. There's no doubt that a lot of these businesses are going to go under. And I don't know, you know, what you can do about that. I mean, even if you did not have the restrictions that have been imposed by the government, which I think, you know, I have questioned some of those restrictions, but hey, it is what it is. Even without them, I think a lot of people that I know as self-imposed, not going out, not traveling as much. They're just not doing it. And so those industries are going to be hampered until, as I said earlier, you reach that point of what is considered herd immunity, which only will take place after the vaccine is available to everyone. As you know, they're having to come out in stages. Obviously, you want to get your healthcare workers, your seniors, people at risk to get the vaccine first. But by the time, it's probably going to be June, July before everybody has access to the vaccine. So, you know, we're 6 months out, in my opinion, from getting anywhere back close to normal.
Yeah. And the rollout, like you said, you feel confident though that ultimately, despite the hiccups, and there's a lot of concern right now, that the things will get kind of on the right course.
Yeah, I am. I really am. I know, you know, it's kind of easy to jump out and blame public health and others, and you know, but you know, when you're starting trying to get that many vaccines out and get them to the people, complications arise. I mean, they just do, so I'm convinced that they will get this figured out, and it'll all work itself out.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but I really do thank you for your time, and I do wish you the best for whatever you got planned for the future.
Well, Jeff, I'm trust me, I'll be plenty busy between the Senate work that I want to do and 5 grandkids. I've got plenty to do, so it's been a pleasure talking with you, and congratulations. I know you have a new baby, you and your wife, and it's been great talking with you, and never hesitate to give me a call.
Absolutely. Maybe we could catch up if things will kind of lighten up during the session.
The first thing I remember.
Sounds great.
State Senator Del Marsh here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind, but Mama tried.